We're going to begin our reading of Scripture at the point where we left off. The beginning of Matthew chapter 28. And we won't get very far. Matthew chapter 28, the last chapter in Matthew's Gospel. And we will begin our reading there at verse 1 and go a little way into the chapter. Let us consider more of this glorious history. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath. Now you must remember that according to their timetable, the Sabbath ended even at the hour of the previous evening. So the morning of the first day of the week had actually begun on Saturday evening at 6. So that was the way it was. The end of the Sabbath had well ended. And then it says, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. For fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Amen. We end our reading at the close of verse 8. And we do trust that the Lord, who gave us this word so long ago, that he would breathe upon us today, his Spirit, so that we may receive the word. Otherwise, it will just go away, melt away. The infinitely wise providence of God orchestrated every circumstance that related to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is so amazing just to carefully consider in each of these four historical accounts, as you take them all together, to see the overwhelming providence of God controlling and orchestrating every moment and every movement. For example, you remember the apostles never believed a word that Jesus told them about his death and resurrection in the months prior to his crucifixion. Now that's horrible. But we have been studying for a long time here on Sunday morning the next historical account, the Gospel of Mark. And over again, Jesus would tell them about he was going to die and he was going to rise again the third day. Just went right over their head. They never got it. And what a lesson there is here. That, you know, it's so easy to hear and yet not hear. There was no way that these unbelieving, cowardly men that ran away when Jesus was arrested, there was no way that they would dare to go near that garden tomb that was surrounded by armed Roman soldiers. What the Jewish leaders supposed was just a supposition. You know, these apostles did not even go out and show themselves in public view to help with the burial of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. They really forsook Him, didn't they? They were terror-stricken, hiding from fear of the Jews. Who were they afraid of? They were afraid of the chief priests and Pharisees that they might do to them what they'd done to Jesus. Even on the third day, when Peter and John ventured out and ran quickly to the tomb to see if Jesus had risen, they stayed there only briefly, and then they quickly got back out of view to their hiding places. Now, here is a great piece of evidence. What could make these unbelieving, cowardly apostles, who had never shown any great courage, what could cause them to stand up against the whole world and to be willing to seal their testimony with their own blood? It was a miracle of God. Seeing the risen Christ and being filled with His Holy Spirit as He promised on the day of Pentecost. These men did not have the courage to secretly go and try to steal Christ's body. That was just an imagination. Now, there is an evidence, God controlling every part, every circumstance, every event, every happening in relation to the resurrection. I want to point out, secondly, that the two secret disciples, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, that's mentioned in what we read earlier, these men never had courage to risk their lives for Jesus until they were convinced by the crucifixion. How were they convinced by the crucifixion? Just like the commanding Roman centurion, the officer on duty at the cross, they were convinced, just as he was, by the mysterious hours of darkness at midday, by the sudden earthquake and the violent tearing of the very strong, durable, huge temple veil. And all of these things that happened convinced them and many others that Jesus was and is the Son of God and God the Son. These two timid, hidden disciples, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, these timid lambs turned into bold lions once the Lamb of God was slain. And with newfound courage, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea were willing to lose everything. They were willing to lose their position in the Sanhedrin. They were willing to lose their reputation and even to lose their lives if need be. So they went out boldly, caring for and burying the body of their Messiah, Jesus. What an evidence that was. I mean, these men wouldn't dare come out. But once they had seen the reality, the power, the overwhelming facts, they couldn't stop. It seemed that the wicked Jewish religious leaders had more belief in what Jesus said than His own disciples did. They remembered what He said, that He'd rise again the third day. So, if you notice, on their own holy Sabbath day, in desperation, even in breaching their own traditions, they went to council with a heathen, pagan, Gentile governor, Pilate, to beg him to seal Jesus' tomb and to place a strong guard of armed soldiers around the tomb. Now that's interesting. Now, imagine that another astounding miracle happened when the angel came down and the guards were shaking, and they became like dead men, And then we read later in this chapter, they ran into the city and gave the report of what had happened. And Jewish leader said, no, we're not doing that. After the angel had frightened the valiant Roman soldiers who fled in terror from the tomb, the wicked Jewish leaders sinned even more. They deliberately invented the lie that Jesus' disciples had come and stole Christ's body while the Roman soldiers were all asleep. Well, those mistaken priests were investing more courage into the disciples than any of the disciples had ever manifested in any of the gospel historical records. Then the wicked priest deliberately bribed the Roman soldiers with large sums of money to get them to tell the lie instead of the truth about their own trembling terror at the tomb. But one of the most astounding revelations that has to do with the resurrection was the courage and faith of the godly women. Okay, ladies, it's your turn. The godly ladies that were at the cross and at the tomb. John Calvin wrote about them. He said, God gave the women the first place of honor at Christ's resurrection. They were the first to see the risen Christ. They were chosen to be the messengers to the apostles of Christ that He was risen indeed. And so the women were, by divine direction, a rebuke to the cowardly apostles by being, in regard to the risen Christ, the very teachers of the apostles. Women teaching them. So I want to, in our remaining moments that we have together this morning, I want to point out the faith, the love, and the courage of these godly women. First of all, who were they? Who were these godly women? We've already read it there. Mary Magdalene, simply meaning Mary of Magdala, that is, naming the place of her birth. And you know, Mary Magdalene was given the special place of prominence by the Holy Spirit. She's always the one that's named first, but there's a lot more information given about her than the rest. And then there's Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. And then the third one that's mentioned here, the mother of Zebedee's children, that's James and John, the apostles, you remember. And her name is given in another place as Salome. So those three were very active, and they came and followed Jesus. Now, they had all followed Jesus and His apostles all the way from Galilee in the north of the Holy Land down to Jerusalem. And these older women had provided from their substance, meaning from their wealth, they had provided monetary support for Jesus and His apostles. In other words, they were the ones giving room and board, paying for it. For some months they had done that. They were some of the last people standing at the cross we read about in chapter 27. They were standing there as Jesus was hanging on the cross. They were standing in sight of Him. They could see Him. They saw His suffering and His dying. They heard the words that He spoke from the cross. They heard all the mocking and all the cursing that was against Him. And yet, unlike the frightened disciples, they would not run away. Christ was their Savior and Lord, so they would love and serve Him to the bitter end. You know, love can never do enough. Love is always ready to render more service. On the resurrection morning, Matthew tells us, he names two of the women that came to the tomb, and later mentions Joanna, another one. And Mark tells us that Salome was also with them. And John tells us that it was still dark. And both Mark and Luke mention that they were bringing spices to further anoint and to preserve the Lord's dead body. But finding the huge stone rolled away from the door of the tomb, they dared to look in. But there was no dead body in there. The two angels told them that Christ is risen and gave a rebuke to their unbelief. Don't you remember what he said? As much as they had wanted to care for Christ's dead body, if it had still been there, all our supposed Christian faith would be forever useless, hopeless, nothing. Jesus had said that He would rise the third day. Luke 24:8 says, "Then they remembered His words." Isn't that the case sometimes with us? After it's all over, then we said, "Oh, I wish I'd already remembered that scripture." Sadly, just like the apostles, the women had not really received and believed what Jesus had said. Here is a most important lesson for us. We can hear the truth over and over again. God's Word preached. And you can hear this preacher reminding you over and over again that you can sit there and sort of look like you are listening. But you may never hear a word that I'm preaching. What can you do about it? Well, I would recommend listening to Jesus. Because Jesus said, "Take heed how you hear." I remember in a service one time sitting beside a young lady. And she was taking notes. And I was supposed to be a preacher, you know, preparing for the ministry. And I was very convicted. She was taking profuse notes. And I was just sitting there like a bump on a log, you know. And I tell you this, if you will really listen and write down some notes about what is being preached, and then if you will review them when you get home, and then if you will pray that God would help you to really understand and obey Him, then I believe you'll profit from God's Word. If you would be like the Berean believers in Acts 17:11, and if you would compare what I say to what the Bible says to see if I'm really telling you the truth, then you'd be a lot better off. If you earnestly seek the Lord, you'll find Him. Now, one of these women is singled out by the Holy Spirit to teach us more. Her name, Mary Magdalene, out of whom Christ had cast seven demons. She had been forgiven much, so she loved much. After they told the apostles, the women did what the angels had said. Of course, Peter and John ran to the tomb, and so did Mary, went back. Mary Magdalene went back as well. And she stayed at the tomb, weeping alone after Peter and John had left. You know, Peter had gone in. John stood there and he was peeping in. And Peter just blundered right on in. And he looked at it. Okay. You know. And as he left, it really didn't do much to Peter. Peter went back fishing again. But Peter seen the grave clothes left in perfect order, like a sunken cocoon. And you know, no mere man could have left them in such perfect form. But Peter still didn't believe. But when John went in, after Peter went in, John went in and got a good look at the grave clothes. And he was convinced. And from that moment, he believed. For John, it was enough to see the orderly grave clothes. He was more blessed than Peter was. But this was not enough for Mary. She would not be satisfied in just seeing some grave clothes. She would not be satisfied till she had seen Jesus. She looked into the tomb again. saw the angel. She wasn't frightened. They asked why she was weeping. And she said, because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him. Still weeping, she turned around from the sepulcher, and she saw one she thought was the gardener. He asked why she was weeping. And she answered, sir, if thou hast taken him away, tell me where thou hast laid him. And then Jesus saith unto her, Mary. Immediately she knew his voice. He was not the gardener. She turned and said, Rabboni, my master, my teacher. She waited and wept, and Christ came to her to comfort her. And I tell you, if you seek the Lord that way, you will find him. She knew and could testify that Christ is risen indeed. The Lord is good to them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Lamentations 3:25. My soul, wait thou only upon God, the psalmist said. Mary waited. She refused to be satisfied until she found Jesus. And to her surprise, there was no dead body. The living Christ came to her. Mary Magdalene is forever a symbol of the worship of Christ by women who cannot forget what He has done for them. She is a type of everyone in whom Christ has first place. These godly women that followed Christ show us that there are many, many ways to serve the Lord. Gratitude and love do manifest themselves in both devotion to God and in service to those that are in need. I wonder, do you know? Do you have a real and living relationship with the living Christ? The words of Isaiah are so appropriate. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Amen. Let us pray. Now let us cast ourselves down before the majesty of our good God. Let us acknowledge our faults and let us seek Him indeed. Oh, that God in mercy would receive us, that we may find grace in Thy sight, O Lord. Even though we are very undeserving, may we come not only to receive pardon for those sins that we've already committed, but Lord, free us from the flaws and the miseries of our flesh until Thou dost clothe us with perfect holiness. Oh God, bless Thy word to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.